Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Our study of the book of Malachi has brought us to the subject of marriage and divorce, a very important, a very sensitive, a very significant topic for discussion today, because I don't need to tell you that divorce has become a major problem in American society today. And virtually everybody recognizes that, and yet it seems like not enough people understand what the problem is and what we need to do about it. And some of the solutions are actually found in a study of this portion that we're looking at now in Malachi chapter 2, where God is dealing with the subject of marriage and divorce, and therefore we are dealing with it because it's next. It's the next thing on our study, verse by verse, through the book of Malachi. We've come to this section in chapter 2 where the prophet Malachi identifies two sins of treachery, that is, two sins of betrayal. And the first one, as you probably remember, is marrying heathen wives, idol-worshipping wives, strictly forbidden by the law of God. That's an act of betrayal against the whole nation. But the second one is divorcing faithful Jewish wives. And that's an entirely different matter. That's a real act of betrayal. It's not only an act of betrayal against the nation, and it is that. It weakens the nation when divorce is common in the nation. It tears the fabric of society apart. But it becomes a serious act of betrayal against your wife, one that you are bound together with in covenant relationship and have commitments to that should not be lightly broken. And yet that's exactly what was going on. And so we need to continue pondering this and applying it to our own situation today. So thank you for joining me on this Monday, November 25. And thank you for remembering that we can only do this because some of our radio listeners are willing to help us financially. The verses in view, verses 13 and 14 of chapter 2 of Malachi. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Something's going on here that is a great impediment to their ability to worship God. It covers the altar with tears instead of with the sacrificial animals. It keeps God from accepting the offerings which they bring to worship, because something's going on here which is very displeasing to God. And verse 14 spells out what that is. Yet you say, for what reason? What are you talking about, God? What is the problem that keeps you from receiving with goodwill the offering from our hands? And it is because, verse 14, the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. I mentioned on the broadcast two or three days ago now, last week sometime, that the Bible actually gives two legitimate reasons for divorce. One is because of immorality. That's certainly a serious act of betrayal. And when one spouse betrays the other spouse by entering in to a sexual relationship with someone who is not their marriage partner, they have betrayed the marriage vows. They have broken the marriage covenant. And the other partner is allowed to put that person away. Christ himself said so in Matthew. And so divorce is biblically permissible when there is sexual impurity on the part of one of the partners. The what we sometimes call them the innocent partner has the prerogative to divorce the other partner, not the sinning partner. Sometimes people say, well, I committed adultery, so now I'm free to divorce my spouse and marry somebody else. You're not. It's up to your spouse. Your spouse has biblical permission to do that. You don't. You can't supply a biblical reason for divorce by your own sin and say, this sin of adultery within the marriage relationship has been committed, so therefore divorce is allowed, but you're the one who committed it. So you're not the one who is allowed to pursue divorce. That's up to the innocent partner, the one that was faithful and who has been betrayed in this. And they don't have to. That's up to them. They can choose to forgive and continue. They're not required to divorce, but they are allowed. And then the second one is desertion. And that one is spelled out in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I won't go into the details of that now, but if you want to study those passages, I'm sure you can do that on your own. But that's not what we have in view here in Malachi. It's very clear that God is talking about Jewish men putting away faithful wives. Remember how he describes them? Number one, as the wife of your youth, she's been with you for a long time. Number two, she is your companion, a Hebrew word for partner, which is a word that means a close friend and one with whom interests are shared. And number three, she is the wife by covenant. She's a committed wife. Marriage is a covenant, a formal agreement between two parties with stipulated benefits and requirements and penalties. And she has entered into covenant relationship with you, and you with her, and she has not broken that marriage covenant. So it's clear that Malachi is not dealing with Jewish husbands who have wives who have been unfaithful to them and wives who have deserted them and gone their own way. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. Faithful wives. Supportive wives. Wives that have been loyal down through the years. A loyal wife, a faithful wife, a committed wife is what is being described here. The Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. She is the wife of your youth. She is your companion. She is your wife by covenant. And the Lord was involved in your marriage. Did you notice that? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth. He has been witness. What is that talking about? That indicates a formal ceremony involving witnesses. Exactly what we do with our marriage ceremonies today, apparently, is what they were doing in that day, too, because this phrase indicates that. We don't have in the Bible any detailed description of marriage ceremonies, so we don't know exactly how they carried them out. We can find some ideas looking in other sources besides the Bible to find out what the customs were in that day, but here's a pretty good indication. There was a formal ceremony involving witnesses, and God was one of those witnesses. God has been a witness, and that's exactly what we do today. We have marriage ceremonies that involve a recognition of both human and divine witnesses. You are making these vows today before God and this company of witnesses, is one of the phrases that is used in some marriage ceremonies. And the Bible is clear that marriage is sacred, designed by God, and He witnesses the vows that you make. Now, of course, we shouldn't be surprised by that revelation, because God sees everything, God knows everything, but there's special attention here. There's certain things in the Bible where God is said to do things that double down on what happens automatically. Of course, God knows everything. God sees everything. So, of course, He's seen our marriage ceremony. Of course, He's seen our vows. Yes, but He's taking a special interest. He is calling attention to the fact that He was a witness at your ceremony. Not just aware, not just knowledgeable, but a witness of the formal act of your committing yourselves to one another. You did that before God as one witness, and before other human beings as a company of witnesses. There are times, and not every marriage ceremony is alike, but there have been times when I've conducted a wedding ceremony and I've made special reference to the people who are there that day. You are here today to act as witnesses. You are here to listen to this man and this woman pledging their vows to one another. You are here to see that with your own eyes and hear that with your own ears and take note of that. And then sometimes I will exhort the crowd, to the congregation, the body of witnesses, to pledge themselves to help this couple. When you see them struggling to be faithful to the witness, to the vows which you heard, you witnessed, you know they made them to one another, and you see them struggling with those, then you take some initiative and come alongside and try to help them to keep those vows that they made before God and others. And the point is that God takes the marriage covenant very seriously. Every marriage involves God's active involvement. Not just that He's passively aware of everything that goes on, but He is actively involved in this marriage ceremony. He is a witness to the vows. He is present in the ceremony to bless the couple and to guarantee the promises which are made to those who try to carry out their marriage in a God-honoring way. And He is witness to enforce the stipulations. You promise these things to each other till death do you part. God is your witness. He heard that. God's own integrity is at stake, and He's a witness to all of this. It doesn't sound like the biblical view of marriage is that marriage is only a piece of paper. Oh, no, it's a whole lot more than that. It is a pledge that is taken seriously by God Almighty, who is one of the witnesses at your wedding. And divorce may be accepted by society as common, but God expects His children to make it rare. There are occasions when it becomes necessary. Yes, there are times when it becomes necessary. And there are the two biblical grounds for divorce, and we need to accept those and not to deny them or to argue against them. But God expects His children to make divorce rare, because divorce involves broken promises, faithlessness, and treachery in the home. Therefore, let's take it seriously. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.